A few quick announcements. Very blessed, of course, with our special music for today, coinciding with Mother's Day. Very pleased to welcome the ensemble that we have today, helping us glorify God with really beautiful music. Thank you for being here, all of you. Beginning June 3rd, there will be we'll be commencing a special liturgy of the hours, it's called, the breviary, you might hear it sometimes called. It's a Monday and Wednesdays, morning prayer at 8:30, midday prayer at 11:30. In case you're not familiar, the Liturgy of the Hours, we've been praying for about two millennia now, though mostly it's associated with priests and monks and nuns. But the Second Vatican Council wanted the laity to get into this as well. And so we were trying to offer that. It's a beautiful way to sanctify time outside of the Mass. It's an official liturgy of the church. It's not the Mass, but it's a way to make the time holy outside. And so you'll be seeing more information about that in the bulletin. And it's a good way to start your day and to give a good midday break. Also, of course, I think that's it. Sorry. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This fourth Sunday of Easter gives us the image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. It's perhaps one of the most enduring and endearing images that we have of our Lord. Even the earliest, in fact, in the catacombs, you will find depictions of Jesus as the Good Shepherd there with the lamb around his neck. And these depictions come really long before we start depicting him on the cross. So you can see how throughout the centuries this has we've been so connected to this. This short gospel passage we have today is packed with wonderful things, and particularly about the voice. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." Think, what is it about the voice? Think about your text or email that you've had, and maybe reading something someone wrote. Those things can leave us cold. In fact, and the reason we have all those little smiley faces and everything, the emoticons, is because all these texts and stuff are being taken the wrong way. You're trying to say something funny and people were offended by it. So now you have to add all these things, and it still doesn't convey what the voice can convey. The voice is able to convey meaning and warmth. In fact, Blessed John Henry Newman said that the voice can melt us. There are things that only a voice can convey. Think of, many of you probably are familiar with Frank Sinatra. He was called the voice. So much so, they say that some of the musicians that were accompanying him would set down their instruments as he was singing just because they were just mesmerized by that voice. Here on Mother's Day, we recall perhaps even our mother's voices from our past, maybe as she was reading to us, going to sleep, or maybe later on giving us advice that we probably didn't take but should have because she was right. We can hear her voice telling us these things. Christianity, our faith, is not a set of ideas. It's not a philosophy of life. Christianity is a relationship with someone who has a voice. There's always a voice attached to our faith. Think about the very first beginnings of our faith. What was it? It was a band of people sitting around the feet of the Master, listening to his voice. St. Paul would famously say in his letter, "Faith comes from hearing." It's the way we find out about faith. And we still have that voice. As Catholics especially, we don't just read the Bible, which we should, by the way, and do a lot more of it. But think about, we give special privilege, a place of privilege, to the proclamation of the Bible at Mass, so that we can hear the words, hear the voice of God. And then the voice of the church throughout the centuries, the living voice ringing out We had the teachings of Jesus helping guide us. It's also that voice that we call conscience inside us. When we do something morally wrong, we know we haven't just disappointed ourselves, we have disappointed someone who has a voice. But likewise, when we do something truly good, we know that it's not just to please ourselves, it is in fact for someone who has told us the way to do it. Now, ancient peoples knew something that you and I must learn about sheep. Now, most all of us here, except perhaps the Platt family, you don't have sheep in your backyard. And if you do, raise your hand. Okay, good. Sheep are not the brightest of animals. And it's interesting that God is constantly referring us as sheep. But still, sheep are not the brightest, but yet they know the voice of their shepherd. And they know the voices that do not belong to their shepherd. With all the noise that's surrounding them, they are able to pick out the voice of the shepherd and will respond only to the shepherd's voice. They're able to distinguish his voice from the other voices and noises, and they won't come to someone who's not the shepherd. So must we be able to distinguish the voice of our shepherd. Amidst the cacophony of voices around us, think of all of the voices vying for your attention, all the shows, all the songs, movies, politicians, all of these voices urging us to accept their point of view. Our young people today are growing up with this, unlike in a way that we never did in my time. Who do you follow? Whom do you listen to with all of this going on? Now, those who are trained in the Christian life and the Christian way, we begin to get a feel for, we begin to learn a capacity to discern that voice of Jesus amidst all of those other things competing for our attention. But then is the question, why? Why bother? Why listen to the voice of Jesus over these other voices or my own? That I have my own voice? Why listen to him? Why discern what he's saying and follow him? Is it so I can be a good person, a nice person, do good things? Well, hopefully you and I will be all of those things, but it doesn't take any special religion to be a good person. It's not the corner of just of Christians, even though we should be the best examples of it. But there are also plenty of Christians who aren't very nice people. You might have met a few. Hopefully not. But why then do we follow? We follow our faith, not because it'll make us nice people, but because it is true. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That means that everything he said is true, because he is God. God has risen from the dead, he has come and redeemed us. And so we must follow him. I did not rise myself from the dead. No one else in the whole history has, only Jesus. And that is why we must follow him, because where is he leading? To eternal life, the life of heaven, where sickness and death have no more power. We will see God face to face. It's important for you and me that while, yes, we need to work to make this earth a better place, we, as the followers of Jesus Christ, disciples, we are always keeping in mind it's because of the world beyond, a supernatural outlook. The Christian faith is about a journey which eventually leads to life on high. And no one can take you out of the hand of Jesus. Except yourself. You and I have the freedom to say no. But if you hear that voice, follow that voice, grab onto his hand, the hand of Jesus, and hang on, because that hand, that voice, is leading you to eternal life. And that is why we must listen to the voice of our good shepherd. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us stand.